Welcome to the Summer of Peace, a free global online event featuring leading peace builders sharing effective methods for taking inspired action and co-creating a new peace narrative. 11 Days of Global Unity is produced by the Shift Network in partnership with We the World. This event brings together brilliant changemakers making meaningful progress on critical issues, including interdependence, economic justice, human rights, and peace. We're grateful you're here. Please share this event with your friends and family. Plus, join us on Facebook at The Shift Network.
And now your host, Alina Shkop-Nasek, coach, writer, and meditation practitioner.
Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleikum. Welcome, everyone. We are so glad that you're joining us for this special bonus session for 11 Days of Global Unity. I'm very excited to introduce our special guests today, Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe and Mordechai David Nasek. We were all recently together in the Holy City of Jerusalem, and it feels quite magical to be together again as part of this peace series. Thank you so much for joining us. Mordechai David Nasek is an internationally known teacher, healer, shaman, yogi, mystic, Reiki master, Sufi, and holistic health and business consultant. Well known for facilitating life-changing experiences, Mordechai David has been featured on television and radio, both nationally and internationally. He lives in Sfat, Israel, where Kabbalah has very deep roots. And he happens to be my husband. His websites are www.kabbalisticjourney.com and www.mordechaidavidnasek.com. Welcome, Mordechai.
Our next guest,
Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe, is founder and president emeritus of the University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism in Napa Valley, California. He is a physician, a spiritual healer, and a Sufi guide or murshid within the Shadhiliya Sufi Order of the United States. His website is www.drjaffemd.com. Welcome, Ibrahim.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
It is a great pleasure to have you both. Before we begin our conversation, we would like to set the stage for our talk by listening to a sacred song. This song is a priestly blessing from the Temple of Solomon. The melody was composed by Jai Uttal, and it was performed with lead vocals by Gabriel Meir Halevi and Amir Pace. Mordechai David and Dr. Ibrahim will both guide us through a way of listening to this song. So if everyone could open their hearts and their ears, and Mordechai, you can lead us in the first part of the meditation.
Thank you, Alina. It's a pleasure to be here with you all. So in order to receive all that we're going to share, we'd like your mind to be still, your body to be relaxed, and your heart wide open. So if you're sitting, sit with a straight back, push your sits bones into the seat, lift your sternum, relax your shoulders, let your eyes close, let your breath flow in and out of your nose slowly, and feel your heart getting very full with every breath.
Now, if you simply imagine the presence of God, however you experience God, and allow your hearts to open to connect to that experience so that the love from your heart goes to the presence of God, and the love from God flows back to your heart, and that sitting in the place of relaxedness and presence with God, we're open to hearing the lyrics and the music.
Come closer, closer, closer. Come on, move for peace. Closer. closer. Put one hand in your heart and another one below your belly button. Hug yourself for a moment. You deserve it. You really deserve it. This is such an ancient prayer, and with the most pure part of ourselves, let's try to sing it from the Temple of Solomon. Yivarchecha Adonai veishmerecha Yair Adonai panav elecha ויחונקה יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום וישם לך שלום 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 Shalom Shalom Salam 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 Yasem Lecha
Wow, Thank you, Gabriel, for this beautiful gift, and to Mordechai David and Dr. Ibrahim for the meditation. It was very beautiful. Before we open our conversation, we would like to dedicate this call to two extraordinary spiritual lights who journeyed through this world imbued with peace and love. The first is someone who is connected to the speakers on this call. His name is Sidi Sheikh Muhammad Al-Jamal. Sidi was a Sufi master and Dr. Ibrahim and Mordechai David's teacher. I was fortunate enough to meet him as well. The second dedication is to Rabbi Yisrael Ben Eliezer, known as the Baal Shem Tov, who lived in Ukraine in the 1700s. He was a Jewish sage and the founder of the Hasidic movement of Judaism. His birthday is in a few days. Now, with the light of these masters, I will ask the first question. What keeps us separate? Mordechai David, would you be kind to answer the first question? What keeps us separate?
Yes. Well, the separateness comes from being disconnected to the essence of our own souls. The essence of our own souls, which is connected to the universal essence, to the divine, to the light of all creation. Through judgments, through pictures describing things, how we thought things would be, and they don't show up that way. When they don't show up that way, we're in separation. So this is, from my point of view, the essence of being separate to all kinds of things that we may be separate to.
Thank you. Ibrahim, Dr. Ibrahim?
Yeah, I concur. And, you know, as children, we come in perfect. And if you look at the soul is turned towards the spirit, and the spirit, of course, is containing the light of God. But as we start to experience life, and we are kind of programmed with our belief systems, we start to experience pain, we start to experience the different experiences that cause hurt or emotions in us, these veils come up, such as anger and rage and fear and stuff. And that creates a veil between our soul and our spirit. Of course, the greatest veil is hatred. And these veils block us from our hearts facing our soul and our souls facing God. And we end up turning away from God and we face what has caused pain in us. And this initial separation from our spirit and from God is ultimately what fragments the heart. And it's that fragmentation and pain that sits in people's hearts that I believe is responsible for most of the difficulties we're seeing in the world today.
Yes, I definitely agree. Mordechai David, is there anything else you want to say about this?
No, I think we just covered it well.
Great. So we're talking about separation of heart and soul, and what is it that could bring us in this unity, what brings inner freedom, inner love, inner acceptance, inner peace? We see what the problems are in the world, but what could actually bring some of the solutions? Dr. Jaffe, Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe, would you like to answer?
Yeah, I you know, there's a story I love, which is one of my students was a sergeant in the U.S. Army, and he was in Desert Storm, and his platoon was chosen to be what was called the tip of the spear. In other words, they were going to go out and face, I think it was the Kuwaitis, and as a tip of the spear, usually all 100 of the platoon die. And he was deeply disturbed by that. And he began praying, because he wasn't really that religious, but he began praying and asking God for help. And at first, nothing happened, but he prayed and he prayed and he cried and he prayed with no apparent response from God. And finally, the day came a week later or so for this offensive. And they got online, and there were maybe 10,000 Kuwaitis and I don't know how many of the U.S. The tank went out. A mortar hit the tank. The tank stopped, but nobody was hurt. And then as they all started moving forward, he said the Kuwaitis began shouting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, until it was deafening. And he said at that moment, this immense white light came down. He said, I don't know where it came from, but it came into my mind, came into my heart. I couldn't see anything but white. It was like a complete whiteout. And he said, all I could hear was Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then as the white light settled and I opened my eyes, he said, all the Kuwaitis picked up their rifles over their head, laid the rifles down, and surrendered, and not one person was killed.
Wow. What a beautiful prayer.
So my personal experience is that if we can contact that white light of unity, which I call the white light of unity, and bring, you know, through prayer and invocation, other practices, access that light, that light will bring peace, and we see in this situation, and as a spiritual healer, I've seen that same light come in, go through somebody's body, and then a week later they go in for surgery, and their tumors have disappeared. So the power
wow.
of God's unity light is unbelievable, and I believe this is the true answer for peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Mordechai David?
Well, yes, I'm in total alignment with Dr. Ibrahim about the light and connecting to that light. And in that process, we need to let go of the what I talked about before, of pictures and judgments. And because if we don't let go, we're going to be suffering. So the moment we can let go of these pictures of how we want things to be or these expectations, we're going to stop suffering inside. And what we choose to look at is also important. Like at the Kentucky Derby, when all the horses are in the gate, they shoot the gun, the gates open, and the horses are off. And these horses are focused on one thing, what's right in front of them. Why? Because they have spiritual blinders on. They're not looking to the left or to the right to see what's going on around them. They're only looking at where they're going. And on a spiritual path, we need to do the same. We need to not look left to where the dark forces want to touch us, or to the right where the dark side of the ego wants to touch us and be in cahoots with the dark side. We have to look directly in front of us and face God and feel that light and run and move into the light and with the light. So this, for me, is a way to bring that inner freedom by having the discipline to just focus on God being in front of you. Shaviti Hashem Lenegvi Tamid. May God be in front of me always.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. So I know a little bit about Sufism and a little bit about Jewish Kabbalah, and I know that the little that I know, I've seen some beautiful teachings on the level of unity and oneness, and how do we reach that state through practices or through ways of being in the world? How do we reach that state of unity that we're talking about here? How do we get that light of God inside of us and exude it and radiate it outside of us? How do we live in that light? Mordechai David, would you like to say a few words about that?
Sure. Living in the world of duality and cultivating a state of oneness is the work of all of us. And to be able to get to the light and move beyond duality, we have to be present with one's joys and one's pain. And we have to be conscious of our actions and our speech. So I want you to just take a short, brief survey of your life to see areas in your lives where there's separation and the areas where there's unity. The way we cultivate a state of oneness is a mystical path. The mystics understand that what we see on this planet is just a fraction of the spiritual reality. And the mystics try to emulate the divine benevolent energy that is in the world and not get bothered by mere physical desires like greed, hatred, domination, lust, etc. You know, everything in Kabbalah, the aspect of Jewish mysticism, seems like a paradox. Why? Because we live in both realities. We live in a physical reality and we live in a soul reality. And there are four worlds of these realities. There's the world of Asiya, which is the world of action, physicality, time and space. There's the world of Yetzirah, the world of formation, about speech and emotion, and where what you speak and what you feel will begin to create your reality, the physical reality. Then there's the world of Beria, the world of creation. This is the world of intellect. With what we think about, we can begin to manifest in physical reality. And then the last world is Atzilut, the world of emanation. And this is the world of divine emanation, of archetype, of the source of life. This is the realm of the divine. So our prayers, our meditations, our spiritual journey takes us through these four worlds to the highest world, where we're just bathing in the white light, the golden light of divinity. And we're just at peace and love and compassion and grace and mercy. And from this place, this is the place that Ibrahim was talking about in the beginning, of connecting to this great light. And when we are connected to this great light, there can be nothing but peace. Now, I'm going to give you a concrete example. We all know that there's one God, one divine energy, one universe, one thing, something greater than us. When we're born and when we die, we come from and return to that oneness. But while we're here, we live in duality. We have these separate bodies, these personalities, these preferences. So I'd assume that all the prayers end up in the same place, and that may be true. But my great Sufi master Sidi, may his soul be elevated, told me that depending on the name that we use for God, a spiritual channel that we have access to is different. When as a Jew I say Elohim in my prayers, they travel through a different channel and possibly could have a different journey and outcomes than if I use the name Elohim. All the channels in their rectified and highest form have a place in the world. Otherwise, they wouldn't be created. If I am praying to El of Elohim and you are praying to Allah, and our channels never interfere, why should we have any disagreement between each other? The heritage of my soul is not the same as the heritage of someone else's soul. I want to strengthen my own soul's journey, just like everybody else, just like you. We must honor every tradition for its wisdom, beauty, and contribution to humanity. The essence of peace is to merge two opposites. Therefore, your notions should not scare you. If you see another who absolutely opposes you, and you presume that there is no chance for peace between you two. On the contrary, and this is the perfection of peace, to make it between two opposites. This was a quote by Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. The essence of peace is to merge two opposites. One to multiplicity to one again. Ibrahim, you spoke about this when we were preparing for this event, and those words were exactly on our paper already. One to multiplicity to one again. So please speak about this in a little bit. The divine Hashem and the Shekhinah, the male and female, the father and the mother merging to create spiritual consciousness. Kabbalah is about the unification of the opposites, male and female, into that oneness. We have a coin that has heads and tails. And if you cut the coin in half, now you have two tails and two heads. And if you cut those heads and tails in half, you have more. So heads and tails are the polar opposites of one thing. And if you just look at one side or the other, you're in duality. But if you take your hand and hold the coin away, you can see that heads and tails is part of that oneness. Male, female, up, down, waxing, waning, sun and moon, male, female, love and hate, cold and hot, all these opposites. This is duality. And we must rise above duality to see the unity and the opposing forces. And this is oneness. This is true oneness.
I love that idea. Thank you so much. I love that idea that everything we seem, that we think is seemingly separate, is actually one if we just look at it from a different perspective or raise our consciousness, that we can actually see that there's unity behind everything. Even the things that grossly realistically look like there can't be unity, like black and white. There can't possibly be a unity, but in the spiritual worlds, there are unities between everything. And it's so beautiful. Thank you so much. Dr. Mm-hmm. Ibrahim, we'd love to hear from you a Sufi perspective on oneness and unity.
Okay. Well, that was a beautiful discussion, Mordecai. So I really appreciate what you had to say, and it's very aligned with what's in my heart as well. Recently, when I went to Jerusalem and I saw Mordecai and Alina, you know, we spent some time on the Temple Mount, which of course today is, you know, the Muslims have the Dome of the Rock, the Golden Dome, and Al-Aqsa, the Black Dome, and it's where it's considered to be, you know, one of the most holy spots in Islam. And of course, it's also considered to be the place of the Temple of Solomon, the first and second temples. And of course, if you look at a lot of the conflict that goes on in Israel, it's really about that spot. It's kind of like, why are they all fighting over that spot? So this was a question I had in my own heart. And as I went on the Temple Mount and wandered around, I became aware that the ground and the light of this area was emanating the light of the pure unity, this higher light of God. You know, where was it coming from? Was there minerals below? Was it, you know, a place in space that, you know, they say that corresponds with a place in the higher heavens? You know, whatever it was, where everybody was turning, why does everybody turn towards these sacred places? Because this is places on the planet where the light of unity is present. So everybody's fighting over putting their temples or their mosques or their churches on this place of unity, which is actually so interestingly because it's so diametrically opposed, because the light of unity has no separation. And everybody wants to have this light of unity, but this light belongs to everybody. And the people who are the people of God, you could say, whoever they are, individually, are simply the people who are closest to this light. So anyone from any religion who brings in this light of unity, who stands in this light of oneness, who has brought close to this. We say those who are brought near to God. These are people who are brought close to this light of oneness. So for me, I left and I realized that what everybody really wants is the state of unity. And what all religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Sufism, Kabbalah, are all seeking to reach into that state of oneness and to live there. Why? Because, first of all, it's a state of ecstasy. Secondly, it's a state of being home. When people reach it, they've come home. Thirdly, there's no separation. You're beyond good and evil. You're beyond separation and duality. You've come into a place where those don't exist anymore. And if they do exist, you see the perfection of each of them as they're held together. In the Sufi tradition, very similar to what Mordecai spoke about, we have four worlds. Our first world, the Mulk, is the physical created world. But the problem with the physical created world for us as human beings is we listen to the voices of the darkness and separation in that world. The second world is the world of the heart and the world of the angels. And this is the world where all goodness lives. So the first world, the world of outside and darkness, the second world, angels and goodness. But the third world, the Jabarut, the world of the soul, is the world where good and evil, light and dark, polarization, duality, and unity is brought together through purification of the heart and purification of the soul's humanness, its qualities, to reach a state of absolute balance. When evil and good, dark and light, are balanced, the balancing of these two natures in our ourselves opens the door for people stepping into this light of unity. This is the secret. So the first station is learning to understand the darkness within us and be able to contain it and purify it. The second station is to understand the good within us. The third station balances good and evil. And the fourth station, we go beyond all duality into that state of oneness, which I believe and know in my heart to be what is manifested in this sacred place of the Temple Mount. So for all of us listening, our work is to walk through these stations, purifying ourselves, learning the knowledge of each of the stations, until our hearts contain goodness, balancing all things, and finally have arrival into that state of unity, which is the medicine for all the illnesses, all the pain on our planet.
Wow, so beautiful. So I'm trying to imagine what this world can actually look like. And when we're all in a place of oneness and connection and unity and home and ecstasy, could you give me just like a picture of what that looks like?
Well, in my experience of it, you know, when I'm with groups of people who carry that state, you know, in the Sufi orders, we have people who have arrived in that state. It's being in a place of absolute peace, that the inner world, there's no conflict. You're filled. It's almost like the very air, the very land, everything you're walking on is literally filling you with divine light, divine energy. There's a connection to knowledge. It's like whatever you're trying to figure out, the knowledge literally just kind of pops into your consciousness and you have it. And there's love, a tremendous state of love. People don't fight with each other. They don't judge each other. Their real work is simply how can they serve each other? How can they help each other's hearts to be happier? And so the state is really a very harmonious and beautiful way of living that emanates into all the physical reality and feeds everybody who walks into these places. You know, there's different land, different, you know, facilities that have them, and the facility vibrates with that energy. So I think if we as a group can fly the flag of unity, meaning that the light of unity begins to permeate into all homes, so that everybody begins to kind of open to that light, I think we would begin to turn the whole earth into a sacred place that would feed everybody with love and peace. And this would be one of the ways to begin the dissolving separation and creating the harmony that all of us are seeking so desperately for in our hearts.
which is probably why we were created and why the earth was created in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly. God's ultimate plan.
Thank you. I like his plan. Mordechai David, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I feel that people would take responsibility for their thoughts, their actions, judgments, and projections onto others, and have the capacity to dialogue about them with all those that they are in relationship with. There's a teaching in Kabbalah of when we receive this light, what do we do with it? And there's four states of receiving, and in the base level, our desire to receive is for the self, the place of conditional love. And the next place is associated with the desire to give, the place of unconditional love. And then the next place allows for the transformation between two of these states of being, and this is associated with the light of the divine. And then the last level of this receiving is to be in a state of unconditional love, oneness, and to be able to take all that we've received and give it to another. So the highest reason for receiving is to give. And if we are all in that place, everyone giving to each other this light and serving this light up, rather than taking and creating separation, we're giving this light and opening, and this light is crumbling walls and separation until we're all bathing in this light and we're all just giving, and more of this light comes through us, and we're all living in a very deep state of peace, bliss, ecstasy while we're here on the planet doing what we do, raising families and teaching and giving and experiencing and elevating. So this is what I see how it would be if the world would be experiencing the outer unity.
Beautiful. So amazing that service is such a big part of this, giving to another, not taking, because in the news we're always taking and fighting and dividing, and you know, this is about giving unconditionally and loving and embracing, and it's such a different projection of reality. It's very beautiful. And I know both of you are very involved in the U.S. and in Israel and Palestine and all these different places. I know that you're involved in different service projects and organizations, so I would ask if you could talk just a little bit about the different projects that are out there existing that are leading us to that place of global unity. Mordechai, you want to start?
Sure. One of the things I've done since I've been in Israel is I was part of an event near the Dead Sea, a nonviolent communication training where there were Palestinians and Israelis and Europeans, internationals, gathered to learn how to communicate with compassion. It doesn't mean that we're all in agreement of something. It means that we're all learning the ability to communicate with humanity about whatever's going on, even if there's opposing stories or beliefs. How can we contain the other, even if it's not our belief? How can we keep our heart open, stay present, and listen, and accept another person's reality? So there's a lot of interfaith dialogue going on elsewhere in the Holy Land through the Abrahamic Reunion. In fact, there's going to be, on the International Day of Peace next week, Tuesday, September 21st, in honor of the International Day of Peace, there's going to be a gathering in Jerusalem with Jews, Christians, Muslims, Druze, where we're going to be praying together, teaching together, experiencing together, all in the name of global peace and consciousness. And if you would like to learn more about this event, just message me, email me, go to my website that's underneath my bio on the Shift Network site, and I will send you the information on that gathering. So these are just some of the amazing things that happen here, that there's dialogues between rabbis and sheikhs and priests, that how can we create this light that Dr. Ibrahim's talking about, so that all people can have it in their hearts, their souls, their homes, their families, their communities, and it lifts us all into this holy place.
Amen. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
And I know, Dr. Ibrahim, you're involved with some really incredible projects here in the Holy Land and also in the U.S. Could you talk a little bit about those projects?
Yeah. Well, in the U.S., you know, we created the University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism. And, you know, the idea with that is that if people can access that unity light and reach the veils that are behind their illnesses and wash those veils with this light, that, you know, healing can happen. And it's very, very powerful. We had just the other day a young girl who was blind from birth. We were able to get into her consciousness, where we found that she was actually, had somehow, as an early child, witnessed the Nazi situation. I don't know how, whether it was TV or her parents, whatever. But whatever the images were that got into her, she couldn't handle it. And the sight shut down, so that she was, you know, shortly after birth found to be blind. But when we were able to get into the images of the Nazi, and we were able to wash it with that unity light, within 1 hour, there was major changes. She went back to her doctor 2 weeks later, and she had 65% of her vision came back. We worked again deeper and found more images that had to do with sort of horrors of her country. She was in Brazil, which we washed again. And within 4 weeks, she had 100% return of her sight, which they were calling a miracle. So
amazing.
The washing of the images that we keep in our subconscious is a key to healing anything, really. And of course, I think the other aspect is that washing, you know, with that pure white light of God. You know, in Israel, you know, my teacher Siddi, and of course Mark's as well, Mordecai's, is that you know, he started something called the Children's Kindergarten, which has now since closed because of some difficulties with the government. But what they were doing was essentially taking children that were from people who had been killed in the Arabic side and on the Jewish side, children that normally would have turned to hatred and turned to violence because of the loss. They put them together in this children's school and began teaching them principles of love and goodness and care. And it took, and how to get rid of the pain. And they took the pain out of these children's hearts and they brought them into love and unity with each other. And what I experienced being over there was, rather than having children that were going to grow up to be violent in some way or angry or full of hate, I saw children with the most radiant faces of love, embracing their Jewish, Christian, and Muslim brothers and sisters, and there was only goodness. And it was so clear, this is the way to cut the very root of violence between people, is to heal the hearts of the children. So I think this is one of the ways that we can work. Not immediately, those children need to grow up, but as they continue to grow with love, I think we could erase violence in that area.
Amen. I believe it. There's so many programs with children and teenagers and women, bereaved parents and mothers. Every day in Israel, I wake up to a new program, and it's really amazing what people are doing and how committed so many people are on every side of the equation to making the peace happen. It's really just incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, beautiful.
Thank you.
So we're soon wrapping up, and I just wanted to ask if there's anything that you would like to share with our listeners as an offer, anything that you're offering, a meditation, a course, et cetera, that you would like to share. Either of you can speak.
Sure. I have available a meditation that can take people into the place where they can receive this light and experience deep, deep healing and washing of traumas, pains, images. I had someone that came to me that had pain in their hand for many, many years. They went and saw all of the doctors. They said nothing was wrong with her. She came to me. I did 2 sessions with her, and after the second session, the pain was released in her arm. So I have a recording that I teach how to heal this, and I actually tell the whole story of this and lead you through healing meditation. And if you're interested in hearing that, again, just go to my website, which is listed at the bottom of my bio on the event page, and the Summer of Peace 11 Day of Unity Summit. At the bottom of my bio or my website, just message me there and let me know you are on this call, and I will send you the Spring Cleaning Healing Meditation Experience. The last thing I want to say is what we can do is, instead of the desire to throw something at someone when you're angry or upset or in pain, instead of throwing a stone, throw something sweet. Even though you might really be resisting it, throw it anyway. Throw a date. And I can tell you a great story from our teacher, Sidi, about how and why he learned to throw a date. So you can email me that, and I'll send you that story as well.
Beautiful. Thank you. Dr. Ibrahim?
Yeah. I guess my parting words would be, you know, that people of war can't bring peace, but people of peace will bring peace. And that if we can, you know, purify our hearts so that we actually find the peace inside of ourselves, and then we emanate that peace, that will be the light that ultimately will bring peace to wherever it is. So our work is really that purification of the places of anger and rage and separation and judgment and, you know, all the things that we carry inside of us from our woundedness, and how to wash that so that we can contain everybody in love. And if people are interested in learning that, you can go to my website, Dr. Jaffe, M-D, drjaffemd.com. And I have a couple of free gifts for you. One of them is a healing. It talks about healing and how you do this. It's kind of a short, I think maybe an hour meditation on how to do that. And the other one is a gift about your brilliance, which is if you look inside yourself and you purify those places, I believe you'll find that you're part of the tapestry of God's creation, and I call that your brilliance. It's what you're here to do. And when you find that brilliance and you live it, there's a deep sense of passion and wholeness and goodness and meaning to our lives. So finding the brilliance of our lives is very important. And if you listen to that, you'll also have a chance to discover that inside yourself. So those are the gifts, and I hope you'll visit my website and download those. So thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you so much. And as someone who is very familiar with both Mordechai David and Dr. Ibrahim's work, I can't recommend enough to visit both of them and to listen to their meditations and see what resonates with your soul. I'm sure both of them will elevate your soul to places that you've never been before, because when I'm in both of their presences, that happens to me. So I just wanted to say thank you so much, Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe and Mordechai David Nasek, for such an enlightening and uplifting talk. And as always, with the two of you, I'm full in every possible way, full of light, full of love, full of embrace, full of everything. And thank you to the listeners for joining us. Again, we said if you want to connect with the speakers, feel free to go to the website and find out more about their work and their meditations. And we're going to end with a very, very special ending here with a Hebrew song. And the song is called Calling Out to You. It was composed by Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach, may his soul be elevated, and it was arranged by Yehuda Katz. The song is called Calling Out to You, and it's really a message of how benevolent the universe is. The message of the song is that if we call towards this higher light, this higher power, God, whatever you want to call it, what we've been talking about, that higher power will answer our call, and will answer it fully, and will answer it more than we could have ever imagined them to answer, with compassion and with love and with light and bliss and ecstasy and everything we've been talking about. So I invite all of the listeners that as we're listening to this song, to think of one thing that you would like to call out for yourself. And then to think of one thing that you would like to call out for the world. And may the melodies of this song take your blessings to the highest, most elevated place to be answered in love and light and grace and beauty. And may all of those prayers come manifest so that all of us can live in the most beautiful world that we could ever imagine.
Kala kulano ele ko Shema Shem Shema Shem Bechonei Ni
Thank you for joining us for the Summer of Peace, brought to you by the Shift Network. To learn more about our global community of people awakening to their divine humanity and taking inspired action, visit theshiftnetwork.com. To learn more about Summer of Peace, visit summerofpeace.net. You can also listen to past Summer of Peace recordings through the World Peace Library at worldpeacelibrary.com. Thank you again for joining us and for sharing this transformational peace-building wisdom with your friends and family.